There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. And I'm a bad up to it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step up, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am your host, Epic Boss McFall. And I am the one to blame every time the helicarrier crashes. It's not the Winter Soldier. Sometimes it's me. You know. Well, last week, which was for us, you know, three or four days ago when we recorded, we had to push it back. We're in Vegas. The live audience, you guys listening right now, you missed out on the glorious Klotz. So Klotz, sing them a ballad so they can hear your voice.
No.
Good enough.
Soapbox Klotz is here today, and he's mostly happy, but I do believe we're going to have a soapbox here later. But yeah, first,
I'm sure there'll be something, I don't know, related to PvP, maybe? Who knows?
I don't know. I think you're stretching it. I think it might be something else. I think you just want it to be PvP. We'll figure that out. So with that being said, the glorious award-winning voice and the man who showed me a whole great new side to Vegas, the Golden Age of it.
Yes. All right, let's get into the headlines. Thank you for that intro, Charles. PvP 20, done, finished, blah, put it to bed, stick a fork in it, it's done. Thank goodness, good riddance. Finished. And I get everything I wanted. We'll talk about that later on the show. Spec Ops, Age of Ultron, announced seconds before the show, minutes maybe. And we're going to go into detail about what's coming. What?
Right. Well, they did leak out a few days ago that there'd be a cross promotion in the games. Details were
like dropped. We had no idea they were going to work Ultron into Avengers Alliance. Wow. I feel like so caught off guard by that. We'll talk about a really cool editorial that Charles saw in Game Informer. All that and more coming up later on in the show. Paul, tell us what's on sale.
Oh, we have got a sale. No, I mean, we've got the wave nullifier.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I saw sandboxes, which were like not interesting to me at all.
Yeah, we've got sandboxes. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody got him for the most part. If you missed him, though, as I like to do when we have lock boxes on sale, this one is worthy. Well, not technically. Not worthy in the
terminology, right?
Sandman is one of the more solid lockbox characters out there. I know he's a brick house in PvE, but he's also, I know some people at lower levels have used him in PvP to good measure as well. So definitely got to grab if you are close or
I agree.
If you've got the gold to spend. If you took advantage of the gold sale that just happened this weekend, the verdict is still out on the weapon that came with the gold sale. I haven't heard too much yet. No rumblings. But
it's a dinosaur in a can, if I remember correctly, right? It's
right.
The raptor.
I really think they missed an opportunity here to call it, like, Clever Girl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure.
And I wonder, it's too bad that Jurassic Park isn't part of the Disney, like, armada of IPs.
Give them time.
But like, you know, because we've got Star-Lord who's taming raptors, apparently. How amazing would it be, you know, to team it up and get a sweet, like, Spec Ops for it. But we had a gold sale over the weekend. It ran through till yesterday, and the wave nullifier is out there and the sandboxes are out there. And you know, did you guys take advantage of the gold sale?
No.
I did. Yeah, I do every time. It's Playdom tax is what I call it. Oh, time to pay my Playdom tax.
And normally I would, because I agree with that. I was not in a spot to do that right now.
Right.
You mean You mean it was a little bit of a stretch after you went to Vegas? You didn't win big money in Vegas?
I won more than Ibbot did, unless there was something that happened while we were apart from each other.
But, yeah, but how yeah, much you of it only did you
saw
drink?
That one. You only saw that one time at the craps table. What are you talking about?
I had this one time at the craps table? I gave all my money to the dealers, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, you missed. I mean, earlier that day, the other Brian was with me when I hit 2 4 of a kinds on the
oh, that's right. You told me about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was. That last night in Vegas was paid for by the city of Vegas. Thank you very much.
There you go. I'm about to turn around and go to California.
San Jose.
Like 2 days. So it's one of those having to manage everything. And I love you, Plato. You know, I do. And I'll give you more of my money soon, I promise. But we're talking about the weapon that came through it, which I haven't seen a weapon I've been impressed with in a gold sale. In a while.
Nothing that's changed. You know, I usually do the $50 deal anyway. And there's nothing that where I doing like the $25, whatever the next level down. There hasn't been anything that has made me say, oh, yeah, I'll definitely pay the extra to get that. It was a uniform. Let me see if I can pull it up here because I do want to talk about that one that was part of the gold sale that was like a Empowered Trench. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, they did the E2s, a couple E2 costumes.
Right, the Empowered 2 Trenches, which basically are the same, but they give you two EISO slots, which are nice. And we've had.
I'm actually a big fan of those. I'm rocking the Tactician one in PvP still.
Are you?
Okay. Well, yeah, I like the fact that you can bring two EISOs. I mean, yeah, it's great. Sure. Like. Especially with the Tactician one, because you can, like, I like to bring Savant to give my agent a little bit of a cushion so that if I don't get to go early, they don't just die on the spot, as they do sometimes with the current meta. You know, it can be pretty brutal. So, yeah, I try to buy a little cushion there, but also I like to use Snappy Service as well. So the two of them combined, it makes that suit super good for me. I enjoy it.
Cool. Agreed.
That's cool. Well, we'll get into PvP in a minute. I was going to say about some of the winnings there. So, Dinosaur in a Box.
Yes.
Sounds okay. It didn't seem to work super well for Chase. So, I'm not, you know, super
ecstatic
about it.
Right. And I'm trying to find the actual name of the item because once you finish that gold sale, you don't even get the chance to go back in there and view it again. Like, if you, they've decided that. All right, you've bought something in the gold sale, you're done with it. Even if you buy the low amount and then decide, oh, you know what, I am going to go buy extra gold, that gold sale disappears for you as soon as you take advantage of it. So, right.
It is called the Isosaur Whisperer.
That's it, Isosaur Whisperer. Isosaur! there you go. Yes,
it's, and it does have the counter ability on it is called Clever Girls.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Isosaurs may counter single target attacks, applying bleeding, ravaged, and flanked. It's a summon attack, so it doesn't trigger counterattacks or retaliation effects. It summons isosaurs. Jeez, that's hard to say. When used, attacking all targets, it exploits bleeding and opportunity. Extra damage against cornered, exhausted, impaired, neutralized, off-balance, staggered, and winded. And extra damage against bleeding targets. So there you go. That's what's happening with the Isosaur Whisper. And it even looks like a little dinosaur with crazy eyes. Huh.
Yeah, it does. I was just noticing that.
Noticed that too.
You know, along with that, they put, sorry, I don't know what to add to that. It's like, it's a gun. It's there.
Pretty much.
Now, does everybody here have Nova?
Yes, I do.
Do you, Klotz?
What's that about Nova?
Do you have Nova?
No, I haven't picked him up yet. I was thinking about it because I did miss him in that. That was the first PvP that where I failed to make Adamantium.
Now, I'm not poking at you. I'm actually asking if you have the knowledge. Is he permanent on release now?
I believe so because of the sped up cycle of them releasing the PvP so close to each other.
Way to avoid the word, by the way, Charles. Yeah, nicely done.
I mean,
well, I wanted him to know that actually I'm asking the question because I know I poke at him all the time, and that's the
boy. That being said, I mean, no.
he's Evernova. That's all he will ever be. He is Evernova.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay. So I did know that somebody asked me, essentially we're treating it as a gold sale. That's why I'm talking about it here. He's in the sale, essentially. Mm-hmm. You can't buy him right now. Somebody asked me if he's worth it, and my opinion was no, he's really not.
No, yeah, he isn't. You know, really the only thing you'd want to get him for is like as a blaster, he's a bonus to your PvP hero bonus.
Right.
As far as like a heavy hitter, he isn't. Right. And yeah. He's, his team ups, like he's what he's, like his biggest team ups here and pulling him up. Wow. He has no, his highest team up is 150 points with Star-Lord and Iron Man. So he doesn't have any 200 point, 250 point, 300 point. Like he's got no other really huge team ups. So
yeah,
I'd say he's one of those characters you could probably avoid until there's a revamp on him.
Yeah. Agreed. Other than blaster bonus, right?
Other than the blaster bonus in PvP.
He is a blaster bonus, and eventually he'll be required for something, if not in the next chapter, you know, or a soon PvP TM.
Right, right.
Or not PvP, I'm sorry, Spec Ops, which I doubt he'll be required for Age of Ultron that's coming up, which we'll get to in a minute, but possibly one right afterwards. Because they tend to like to throw those guys in pretty quickly.
If it's scheduled, yeah, exactly. Skip a few and then like skip three and then put them as a required in the next one kind of thing. Or skip two.
To your blue, perhaps?
Middle of the road blaster, Agent Greg Dude says.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
That's great. Pretty much.
So people are chomping a bit to talk about Spec Ops. So before we get to that, Charles, who hit 300 this week?
I'm sure plenty of people did. The email I saw was Agent No Free Actions made it in. And we have an email in the from the field here also from them. But the Agent No Free Actions, this is Sparta.
Sparta.
I think I can actually put reverb on myself, but I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Cool.
I could.
All right, let's get PvP talked out of the way. So PvP 20 ended. It's over. We had a 3-day extension
and Paul Lucy and the AOL and the Ages Only Lounge, it raked me especially, but definitely Klotz over the coals for coming up short this time. It was very,
it was pretty brutal. It was like getting scolded by your dad.
He threatened to sit Nikolai on us. Until Nikolai got winded and put disoriented on us. I was like, all right.
Yeah, now keep in mind, people, you know, Charles was in Vegas for several days, right? And he was actually attending meetings and actually going to things and doing stuff as opposed to me back in the hotel room having to work on freelance and working with clients and stuff. But so Charles was busy. He didn't have a chance. And I know Paul's busy with school, so... Boy, you know, don't put it on them just because they don't have the carefree, responsibility-free lifestyle that I have.
Well played. And we could just let that sit. But it says the man who actually was doing work for his contracts in Vegas in the same place I was. So, and you made adamantium quite easily.
Well, but like I said, you were actually doing meetings and stuff. And when I was back in the hotel room, there wasn't anything stopping me from having MA running in the background while I'm working on an ad. And then I send that ad off to get approved and maybe I'll do a heroic battle a PvP battle or something. Who knows? But it was a push more that started on Friday when I got back from the trip and went through the weekend. And kind of that there's this fun point where I'm getting to watch Charles log in about 45 minutes before the end of PvP yesterday.
We can talk about that if you want.
Let's talk about that because you were on Periscope and it was a fun thing. It was a really, really cool thing, by the way. And I think we should do do a lot of these.
Absolutely.
These Periscope things.
So streaming is not an easy thing for me. And it's just because it's a lot of setup and you can't see my screen. I mean, there's a lot of work to it. Ibit apparently was already aware of this app. I just discovered two apps out there called Meerkat and Periscope.
Yeah.
They are bringing streaming media to your phone so that you can stream the world through your eyes to the rest of the world. So what you're doing right there. And I just got a wild hair yesterday at the end of PvP. I didn't have anything else to do because I started getting those refreshes, right? So I'm like, hey, I'm going to Periscope this thing out. And I set my tablet up to where you could see the computer screen that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And it worked very well. And so you were able to watch me crash and burn and not quite get adamantium live.
And unfortunately, basically it was like, all right, starting this battle. Okay, pretty much got these guys on the ropes done. Oh, F-bomb. It's combat validation error. Boom.
It was very uncensored.
I'm connecting. That's right. I think I can still make it to adamantium. Starting back up again. All right, got a battle. Here we go. Ah, damn it. That's pretty much what those 45 minutes were like. And here's the goofy thing with, at least with Periscope, is that your screen is reversed. So your characters are on the opposite side.
Interesting.
I mean, which obviously not a hard thing to figure out, but you can, but it's harder to read the text and things that are coming up on screen. Okay. So
that's good feedback. So I had no idea.
It's an interesting thing, but my first Periscope was in the Las Vegas airport when I landed. So it was just, you know, it wasn't something that I discovered months ago. I mean, I literally discovered it and started using it about 4 days before we were using it together on the strip.
Okay.
And that was a blast, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And we toasted the clots, which does nothing for clots, I think. But
yep. That's right. We did a live video toast for clots on that last day. All right. So, you did finish in Vibranium. You did get the weapon, the uniform, and you can pick up. If you really want Victor, you can pick him up later on for CP. No big deal at all. But it's the other things, the weapon and the uniform that are harder to get once the PvP is over.
You may never get the uniform once the PvP is over.
Right.
The
weapon's
a 50-50 shot, in my opinion. But it depends on how the meta of the game grows. They rarely brought back that tactician suit, and even then I passed on it because I knew a new one was coming. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah.
But I got everything but Victor. Mm-hmm. So I guess
I said, you can pick Victor up later on. Paul, you were in Diamond? Is that right?
Yeah, I finished in Diamond. Cool. I was trying to make the push. Every day when I logged back in, I was losing anywhere between 50 and 100 points on average, even though I was staying down in gold/diamond. But I tried to make the push. I got in a couple hours before the end of the tournament, and I pushed all the way back up into diamond, and it was about 200 points. Well, yeah, it's only 200 points between diamond and vibranium. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get there, largely because for the time that I could play, it was going fine. But my wins, like many of my wins would net like +4, +3, +1. You know, I had a few decent ones. Like I'm looking at it right now. Because I was at around 1,000 to 1,100 rating, getting paired with people who were 800. People who had half the health pool that I did, a third of the health pool that I did. Yeah. That matchmaking, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I even ran into that in Vibranium high up. Yesterday when I finally got to sit down at a computer and get ready for that last push, which is what we advise against, you know, getting adamantium mm-hmm. the day or two before. That way you only have to keep it. I was still in mid Vibranium. I was like, I've got an hour and a half. I've got to push. My first battle at 16,000 health points on my team, plus whatever bonuses, everything else. I went up against a team that had 898 health points.
Mm.
And I have that. I'm using the blaster thing, right? I'm letting that sink in. 898.
898 HP.
Right. So,
you breathed on them, they fell over, and you got the win.
Yes. Basically, I punched them, and I have the blaster suit, so it has the splash damage. I punched them and overkilled everybody instantly. Right. That was it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then to hear Klotz talk, that hurts because I thought this patch that they did fixed that matchmaking in Diamond. But when he's talking about, he was in our chat, of course, at the end of the day. And you were saying, Klotz, that 3 and 4 points of battle plus losses will not get you out of Diamond. I was like, really? They're still doing that in Diamond League? I don't understand. I thought they fixed it. Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, it goes in spots, too, because sometimes it'll be fine. I'll be getting, like, 10, 12, 13 points, you know, like you normally do. Once we got closer to the end and the refreshes started coming in and the combat validation areas started coming in, I started getting losses. And, again, you know, when losses cost you, like, 23 points, 20 points, stuff like that, you can't really get out of that hole when you only have a few minutes left. Right. And you can't even get in to do those. So, I don't know what the answer is. Like in my case, I don't know if I could have pushed up into Vibranium even if I had more time. I was just like every night I was getting pounded and losing a bunch of points. So I just think I'm at that bad spot. Like I really do think we've talked about the Fatal Funnel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's exactly the way that it used to be, but I definitely know that the people I face when I'm in higher tiers are much, much more stacked against me. Like they're mostly 300s with full armories. So I was reluctant to try to push up and hold because I knew I was going to get a beating on the defense. And that was proven to me even by people who were in gold. You know, people in gold would smash me on defense. So my plan is I'm glad that we have a little bit of a lull here before the next actual tournament because I'm going to make that push to 300. I want to get there, get caught up. I've been buying heroes. Like I bought the last two gold sales and I've been dumping that into catching up on heroes. So I'm going to make that big push, try to catch up my stats so that I can actually compete. Cause it's really frustrating just hitting that wall of like, well, you can't get good matchmaking. And when you do get fair matches, you're kind of getting crushed just by being a little bit behind the ball. So that's where I'm at. I'm not as upset as I might've been before. About the whole thing, I just really think they need to take the time between this tournament and the next actual one to really solve the problem. And I think they might want to take a step back and really reconsider the way they're doing things because it's not effective. It's pretty clear. And like the biggest thing for me is looking at my matches here. Like my last couple, I fought a level 89 guy, a level 70 guy, a level 225. There's a 300. You know, it's all over the place. And just because we might have the same, like, armory items doesn't mean that a level 89 guy can compete with somebody who's in, you know, the mid-200s like I am or compete with a 300 or anything like that because, you know, the hero bonuses are going to stack up against them. The options that they're going to have available, for example, all the worthy guys, having those available to you pretty much means that you've got a huge edge, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they need to readdress the way that they're doing matchmaking and stuff. I don't think the current level scaling thing they're doing is actually accomplishing what their original intent was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad because that was it seemed like it was going fairly well near the beginning and then got really bad near the middle. And that's when they decided they were going to extend things out another 3 days. And it's a bummer because this is, you know, one of the first times in a while we've had a PvP without having a PvP beforehand for them to test some new code out. And obviously that code kind of hosed something. So yeah, that's that. Anything else on PvP 20 before we put that to bed?
Oh, kill it dead.
Good. Good. Let's talk about some great news. And this just came in, like you said, just a little while before we started doing the show. It's been announced on Marvel.com, a new interview with Ben Morse and Tony Sherrill, that Marvel Avengers Alliance is getting the Age of Ultron storyline. We kind of knew that it was going to be getting the Age of Ultron storyline.
I want more Runaways.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Nobody ever.
Yes, right. give me a Spec Ops where I'm limited to only using members of Power Pack.
Oh, how about this? Here's the thing about Age of Ultron. We did get information that you can only use Iron Man. That's it. That's the only character you get to use.
Only Iron Man. But he'll bring in his buddies for some of the fights. Yeah. No, okay, so it's coming soon. We don't know when, but probably within the next few days would be my guess. And instead of getting a hero this time around, you're getting a new uniform for Iron Man. You're getting the Hulkbuster alt uniform.
Which is Oh, sorry.
May 1st is when the movie.
You're right. Movie. I apologize.
Yep. I think things are going to be coming out this week, actually, for the game, just because they're doing a whole big push for, I think, this week.
Probably the
23rd. Yeah, exactly. Because that's been
everybody's launching their everything. Content on the 23rd, I guess. So
there we go.
The 1st cool. of May. The 1st of May. Hulkbuster comes today.
That's exactly how those lyrics go. So here's the cool thing about the Hulkbuster. It starts out, the uniform starts out as the MK-43 armor, Mark 43 armor. And then you hit a little button, presumably one of your actions, and you turn into Hulkbuster. And it's great. That is such a great way to give us the character without.
Yes.
And you know, there was number one, Charles, you called it, first of all. Wait, so credit where credit is due on that.
I figured it had to be a separate animation. And I said it's a different character, so I was a little off. Right. But I did call the next thing you're going to talk about.
Yes. We'll get to that in 1 second. But this does combat the concerns that having a Hulkbuster alt potentially could be OP, right? Is that basically if you are Hulkbuster 24/7 in that alt, you're going to be OP. And if you're not, then they're breaking the character. Then they're not being genuine to the lore of the character. But having it be something that, you know, you can trigger and presumably will only last for a couple of rounds. Who knows? But that would be my guess, is that you hit the button and you're Hulkbuster for a couple of rounds, and then you run out of Stark juice, and then you have to go back down to regular uniform.
That sounds gross. I don't know.
Whatever, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have to collect Stark juice in the next covert ops. Just wait. Cans of Stark juice. Presumably, and I mean, that's complete and total speculation, but the fact that you start off combat in the Mark 43 armor and then you get moved into the Hulkbuster armor, my guess is that it's going to go back, you know, after a couple of rounds. Here's the other thing. The thing that you predicted dead on the money is a heroic battle with the Hulk and the Hulkbuster armor, which is great. I cannot wait to play this.
Yeah, when I said it, I was like, should I really put this out there? Because I want it so much. And then they already had it in the plan. So that was very cool. I'm very, very... Now, I'm excited right this second, but we've been excited for heroic battles before.
Right.
And then, you know, somehow Drew Carey got involved and all you hear is the Price is Wrong music. Wah, wah, wah. It didn't work. Right. So.
That is the drag, is that we've got to worry about, we still haven't seen or heard anything regarding the Runaways heroic missions, the Runaways spec op heroic mission EISO, and if there's going to be a way to get those outside of spec ops, if they're going to have those available later on. So that is the big worry, right? When they say, mm-hmm. all right, you're going to get heroic battles in the spec ops coming. And unfortunately, you've got to worry, all right, am I going to have to just run these over and over and over again?
Here's my answer to this.
Yeah.
Plato, we know you listen, and you don't always you can't always control release schedules. However, kudos for putting heroic battles in Spec Ops. Love it.
Yes.
I love the little bit of added pressure. I know a lot of people are complaining about ISO, but it taught me manage your ISO better. I like it. However, do refrain from releasing PvP in the middle of this. We need to focus our attention on farming. I didn't hear any complaints about the farming aspect of trying to get this in this last Spec Ops. I know I didn't complain and I didn't get all the stuff, but until you show us a path of, oh, if we don't get it, we'll have this time later to try. Mm-hmm. Don't give us any other content. We have to farm. And those of us who take PvP seriously have a hard time not doing the 5 battles. And that's just time taken away from getting Molly's ISO, or in this case, it'd be Iron Man and Hulk's ISO.
I would take your request and let me augment it a little bit. Let me slap a little ISO on there and augment
you
it.
Do that.
Don't give us PvP for 2 weeks after you launch Spec Ops. Give us a chance to get through the three missions and get the Hulkbuster, because then once we start farming, there's going to be days where we're just going to want to go in, collect our UISO and stockpile it. You know, visit our allies, collect it from what our allies send us, all that stuff, stockpile it. During that time, then we can start hitting PvP. Because, you know, when you don't want to just do like five battles a day when you get your 50 UISO from what you get mailed and what you get from visiting your allies, maybe 100 total per day. You want to stockpile it so you can maybe have like, you know what? I want to run through one mission twice or three times or whatever.
Yes.
So don't start PvP until that stockpiling period begins, which is about 2 weeks after Spec Ops launches. Because keep in mind, not only are we getting Spec Ops whenever it launches, we're also going to get a Covert Ops, which is going to be the way that we're going to get a lot of new uniforms for the other Avengers. So each Avenger, Captain America, Black Widow, Thor, Hawkeye, Vision, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch are all getting new alts to coincide with the movie. And when Age of Ultron, the Spec Ops goes live, we're going to get new spandex pants for Hulk, which you get, which you unlock by doing a covert task. Who knows, you know, if they're going to release all of the uniforms that way, but I'm guessing that it's going to be very similar to what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, where, you know, you may have, as soon as this covert ops ends, you're going to have another one that starts up, and who knows, maybe a couple of these alts are just going to be straight out purchases. Who knows? But that is the thinking right there, is that it's going to be at least one of them we know for sure is going to be covert ops. And my guess is that it's going to be multiple.
And little point of historical fact.
Sure.
That the Avengers alts were the first alts released in the game right after the movie hit. Mm-hmm. So this game was built as a promotional machine. They released it, I think, a few months before the movie came out.
Right, yeah. Came out February, and the movie came out in May.
Yeah. And then when the movie hit, instantly they were on that going, hey, we're going to give you something extra. And here we go, what is it, 3 years later, and we're still going strong. Mm-hmm. So, which is actually kind of, I'm not going to segue into it. Yeah, we're going to finish up what we're talking about, but that's why I want to read the editorial from Game Informer today. And talk about that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what that's all about. I'm very interested ever since you put that in there. Okay, so that should cover Spec Ops. Obviously, lots and lots of Ultrons. We've seen in the trailers that they're going to be that there's multiple Ultrons that come at you in the game. I'm sorry, in the movie. So presumably that's going to be a lot of that in the game as well. And no word yet on if there's going to be a group boss, but with all the runaways and all these other characters we've gotten lately, I imagine everybody's cash supplies are starting to dwindle with all the training they're having to do to get everybody up to speed. So more on that as soon as the Spec Ops rolls, and we'll have a lot of that next week, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna. I can't wait for the movie. Let's just break form for a second.
Oh yeah,
the movie's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be
awesome. It really is. I can't wait. Yeah, early critic reviews are coming in, and they seem like they're mostly positive. They're almost all positive, saying that it's a longer film. It's darker, which it needs to be, because this is more of a threat than Loki. You know, and whereas Loki was certainly wanted to cause some mayhem in New York, Ultron pretty much wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this darkness kind of manifests itself in the film. But early reviews are almost all positive. So really excited about that.
It's going to be awesome. Do you have anything to throw in, Klotz, before we read this article?
No.
Okay. So this is out of the Game Informer from May 2015 is the latest Game Informer, I believe. I've been reading this magazine for a long time now, and Andy McNamara is one of the better editors that they've had. And he writes this: developers create the worlds, but we live in them. I get it. Being mean on the internet is fun. People do it for the lulz. The problem is, it isn't making life better and in many cases, making the game better. Games today are more than just their ones and zeros. The people who play them are now an integral part of the experience. Communities are now more than ever determining the staying power of a game. Yes, game developers need to make a great game. And yes, developers need to create tools so the communities can police those that take enjoyment from spoiling the experience or degrading others in games. Even when all the checkboxes are in place from a developer standpoint, we, the players, still are responsible for making these worlds inhabitable. Seeing players abuse one another in games is the thing that disappoints me most about the entertainment medium. I see it day after day in a range of activities. Player after player just wants to AFK his or her way to victory, or people in the chat room discourage others due to their race or sexual orientation. I want to believe gamers are the best of the best, but I encounter these poor behaviors far more than I care to admit. Being awful in a game is bad enough, but the quest to find joy in the pain of others has led to real-world despicable behavior, including denial of service attacks, swatting, in quotation marks, where the lowest of the low send SWAT teams, real-life SWAT teams, by the way, send SWAT teams after players, bomb threats, the harassment of players with threats of bodily harm, a problem women in games in particular are facing far too often, and erasing another player's hard-earned content, which I've not heard about yet, but he says read about this on page 24. There's something with Destiny, and somebody did something there.
Oh, jeez.
So games are a place and a time. Games are a place and a time. We need to treat people like we would like to be treated. Awful people certainly exist in this world, but in games, people use the shield of anonymity to do things they simply wouldn't do to people face-to-face. Yes, it is a problem all across the web, but I can turn off Twitter. I can ignore the comments on YouTube. But when you come into my games and make the world a horrible place, you're hitting me where I live. That simply isn't acceptable. Grow up and let's make our game worlds places we all want to be. And that's Andy McNamara. And the first thing I thought was, the community, are the reason that Playdom keeps getting to make this game as a whole. Even the people who don't listen to the show, but the players of MAA are the reason. But we've tackled this issue a lot, and it's starting to become, when major magazines start to openly tackle it like this, means the next step is there's going to be measures taken, hopefully, to really prevent things. And we as a community need to rise up and say, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to threaten bodily harm to anybody because of a game. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not acceptable to hack into a game and delete other people's content. And let's have fun. And if your fun is inflicting pain on others, hopefully we as a community take that fun away from you and shut it out and ignore it. And that's why I wanted to touch on that real quick.
Yeah, well, good, really good point. And, it's horrible stuff we're seeing these days with that. And so I don't know what to add to that other than agreed. Yeah. It's a problem for sure.
I want to see what the Twitch is going on here. They say, he makes a good point. Go ahead, Klotz.
Well, we've talked about it a lot in the past, community and positivity and whatnot. But that's really the thing is, I can't find a game that has an online element anymore where the community is not just toxic. Like, almost on, like, to the point where I just want to turn off whatever chat function there is, not play with them. All the MOBAs, the arena-style games, I generally don't want to play those with people that I don't know, and I don't want to see what they have to say. Most of the MMOs, you can't even sit in public channels. I haven't played WoW in a couple months, but I know that when I was in my garrison between doing things in WoW, the stuff people were saying was just ridiculous. And it's become so widespread that this is what gaming and the internet is known for. And it's ruining our hobby. It's ruining our good time. The things that we do to unwind, decompress, enjoy ourselves, achieve something in a reasonable fashion that's measurable. Because, that's one of the sweet parts about games like this is you can throw yourself at it and you get measurable results. And that's something that makes us as human beings feel good. And then we've got people, other human beings sitting there just tearing us down, or tearing each other down or making our experiences miserable. And it's just completely unnecessary. And then you talk about the stuff, you know, listed in that article, like all the personal stuff where it isn't just somebody being toxic in a game or in a forum or in a chat anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
Now they're, you know, getting people sent to their houses. They're sending death threats. Now, like, that is just insanity.
Are you familiar with the SWAT incident?
Oh yeah.
It's becoming more and more prevalent. Like that's,
it started happening. It's a Twitch thing really. When people are live streaming, you know, a handful of people have had SWAT called on them while they were live streaming before.
Yeah.
And so you'll see them get up and go answer the door and, you know, either they just don't come back or all of a sudden they're getting tackled to the ground by somebody and you just see craziness, you know?
Yeah.
And it's insanity. I mean, and that's like, there's a whole separate issue there with, you know, the state of our police agencies in this country. But that's just like a completely different topic. But the point is, like, that's insanity. Like, that we're doing that to each other. That, you know, you go on Twitch and you watch somebody play a game and you decide you don't like them for whatever reason. So, you know what? I'm going to try to ruin their life.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's completely crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when you combine the online freedom that people have with the online anonymity that they've got, will you find out, you know, the real worst in some people, because they realize there are going to be no repercussions for the things they say or do online, that it's going to be hard for them to be tracked down. And especially if they're using an alias, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that people can't control themselves and revert down to their base instincts to be a-holes to each other if they've got the anonymity to do so.
It's a mess. But just so you know, we're part of the voices that stand up against it, in case you didn't already know. I know a lot of people have loved that we've made the Agents Only Lounge, and it's a radiation-free,
it's a very positive place
in this matter. Because I'm with you, Klotz. I mean, the first thing I do with any game that's social or has a social aspect is I turn off the feed. I turn off the chat. I don't want to see anything. And it's weird. Because I don't want to play with other people. Yeah, I get more enjoyment. And going back to PvP and us not making it, you know, the ranking of the calls was Paul Losey was saying that, hey, there's this great tool out there that helps people succeed in PvP. It's called the Agents Only Lounge. And, you know, the next time you guys want to drop the ball, I'm going to, you know, it was this great thing, but he was reminding us, we stepped back from the community. We got busy. We didn't stay in this motivational awesome area that everybody's pulling each other up and helping each other out. And that's not the direct cause of why we left, but it is a direct result to people winning. A lot of people have attributed just being in this great environment. And I think there are many, many other groups that do this as well in WoW and in Hearthstone. And you can find groups, but that's the thing. You have to find them. Isn't it just easier to turn off the chat? And we as players need to fix that. Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up there. With that, go ahead. I sound like you had something else.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, the other thing is it's important to be cognizant of the difference between people who play these games. Like in our own game, you know, there are people who play for different reasons. There are super casual people. There are super competitive people. We need to acknowledge that and accept that within them. You know, like, for example, the results in the PvP tournament. If somebody didn't make Adamantium, so what? You know, it's on them. I didn't make Adamantium, but I'm not going to complain, you know, all show and get up on my, you know, rant box and just go crazy. I talked about the issues that I faced. I acknowledged them, but I know I didn't put in as much time as I could have. Yeah. You know you didn't put in as much time as you could have. But that's the thing. Real life gets in the way sometimes, and that's fine. But you know, you see the toxicity coming out of people sometimes and it's like, oh, you didn't place Adamantium. You're a scrub. You're garbage. It's not so bad. Like we don't see it in the Agents Only Lounge, but some of the other groups, it's like, if you didn't place Adamantium, you're just a non person now, you know, like you're a piece of trash to be thrown around and dumped on. And it's just completely insane. I see it all the time in other games too. And it's like, the first step that everybody seems to take is to imply that the other person's bad, no matter what. I read an interesting post, and it's a kind of obscure game. It's called Scrolls. It's put out by Mojang, the people who made Minecraft. It's kind of like a TCG, you know, a card game. But this guy posted in the subreddit for it, and he said, you know, I stopped playing this game because I couldn't blame anybody else. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and that, it was true. What he did is he read an article that analyzed how a lot of these games that have a team element or multiplayer, any of that stuff, people tend to blame the other people they're involved with. So like when you play League of Legends or Dota and you just feed, you know, you die a bunch of times and you're not helping, you're not contributing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll blame everybody else on your team. You'll be like, oh, well, it was so-and-so, or nobody helped me, or, you know, any number of things. And you never take the onus upon yourself. But people are reluctant to take the onus upon themselves because the moment you try to even remotely accept responsibility for making a mistake, all of a sudden everybody jumps on you and you're the worst person that's ever walked the face of the earth. You know, you have no business being on the internet. You shouldn't play this game. Like, I've gone into beginner matches and games, like, you know, I have no ranking. I have no games like under my belt. Go into multiplayer, get randomly paired, and people are like, why are you even playing? It's like, what?
Like, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have to start somewhere. And that's the thing. And I thought it was really great insight from that guy where he's like, yeah, I can't blame anybody else. So that's why I stopped playing this game. And it's one of those things, like, there's a thin line between love and hate. There's a thin line between, you know, critique and insult. And that's kind of the whole thing. It's like, and for some people, like, they never get anywhere near that thin line. They're just full-blown rage kids. I call them rage kids. You can be a 50-year-old rage kid. I've seen it. You know what I mean? Like, if you fly off the handle and lose your shit at the slightest provocation, you're a rage kid. And you're not contributing positively to your community. You're not contributing positively to the play experience of your teammates or even your opponents. Like, this weekend, I had the opportunity to play it was game day for Magic. So my roommate and I, we played in two big tournaments. That's part of why I didn't get to place well in the PvP tournament for MAA, because I prioritized a real life event over it. But I played locally, and then we traveled to a nearby city that's a little more than an hour away and played out there with people that we don't really know. And I had a great day. I had a great experience. Nice. Both days. We, I played with people, I beat people where, you know, I shook their hands afterwards. And even though I gave them a thorough thrashing, they shook my hand and they were cool about it. I know they were frustrated because there was a lot on the line. It's, you know, the prizes were pretty good. So there's a lot on the line. There's a lot to be had. And losing is frustrating, especially when you're making all the right decisions and it just doesn't work out for you. But they were adults about it. You know what I mean? Like, this is a funny story that ties into this. I was sitting there chit-chatting with my opponent in one of my matches, and we were talking about how this exact topic, how, like, sometimes the competitive Magic community and other games are so toxic and, you know, like, they get too competitive and they get real insulting and all that kind of stuff. And we're talking about that. And all of a sudden, the match sitting right next to us, the one guy gets up and walks away. And the other guy turns to us and he goes, thank you for talking about that, because he was just about to fly off the handle at me. So we literally started talking about how shitty the community can be when this kid sitting right next to us was about to just be a jerk to his opponent that beat him. It's the thing. And as you grow, like, I'm in my 30s now, and I don't play games for the same reason maybe I did even 5 years ago. You know, there's a lot of ego involved when you're in your teens and your 20s. It's very common. I don't measure my self-worth by how well I place in a tournament or, my success rate in a game per se. I try to do my best, but it doesn't mean that, you know, my self-worth is based on that. Right. I don't think anybody should be. You should be proud of your accomplishments, and you should always, you know, fight to do your best. But, you know, you got to prioritize sometimes. And you definitely shouldn't tear somebody else down because they don't meet your standard or they're not as good as you or they make a mistake, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest takeaway is, like, if you're not encouraging an environment where everybody can have a good time, then you just really shouldn't be there. Like, there's no point to it. Because you're obviously not having a good time if you're just ranting and raving at everybody else. So
this is true.
And that's my big soapbox moment.
J W Y A T T. Yeah, J W Yatt 469.
Jay Wyatt. Jay
that would be it too, Jay Wyatt. You will always be a person to me, Klotz. And you know, that's honestly, we forget the human nature, which is interesting because you were actually face to face with somebody and some kid was about to flop the handle.
Right.
And that, not to be over dramatic, but that's how you get killed in this world. I mean, you just do the wrong thing at the wrong time. I'm not saying necessarily the game, but it does. Yeah. You know, we talked about, you know, in our society in the U.S., we had road rage majorly back in the 90s. I mean, certain things happen that things just escalate. And you look as a bystander or at a calming thought later going, how did that ever happen? It's because you ultimately think you can get away with things that you just can't. And I'd rather just push towards, let's have fun. Let's everybody be mm-hmm. cool. Let's just be cool about it.
I think that's why I like Hearthstone so much, is that your opponent can only say about six things to you.
Yeah. Yes. And one of those is a threat. One of those is, I will trounce you or something.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's in the
which
form
is just
of,
hilarious.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, prepare to be defeated. You know, it's the cheesiest of all threats.
But. It's funny, though, because Hearthstone has done Blizzard has done everything in their power to make it virtually impossible to troll or rage out on your opponents, except bad manners is letting it go to time every round. Like, you've already lost the game, so you just let it go to time every time, and you watch that rope burn down. And I've been on the other side of that where I'm winning, and I'm just seething. I'm like, why?
Exactly. Why just do it already.
But to that point, too, is the rope gets faster and faster every time.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's bad manners, but it's like, So, all right, talking about good manners, we have All Hail the King, and we're going to play that here at just 3 and 2, and don't give myself a countdown because I lost it. There it is. All right, here we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, I feel much better than I did a few days ago, but even though that's the case, I'm apparently losing my voice. So I think that may cause a problem video-wise. Seriously, this sucks. Maybe if I just take today off, then I'll be fine tomorrow. I hope. But as far as today's segment, it's going to be a little bit different, but equally awesome. That applies to the video as well. For this All Hail the King segment, I'm joining the movement, Unnerf the Toolkit. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Vigilante Toolkit is a multi-function weapon that came out in sometime late October 2013. It was part of Moon Knight's release in Covert Ops, so you had to complete covert tasks to get it, as well as unlock Moon Knight. That made it a free weapon, and it was available to anyone who completed these tasks. And let me tell you, it was incredible. First of all, it was a multi-function weapon, and I just have an affinity for those type of items, in large part because they give you options. You see, not every situation is the same. So it's nice to have different options on your items, especially since we can only equip 4 at a time. Then the greatest part about the toolkit was that it had 3 built-in passives. First, retractable claw counterattack, chance to counter single target and area attacks. It also had a protect allies from single target attacks, and evasive, high chance to avoid melee and ranged attacks. Now, don't get me wrong. Maybe having all 3 of those would be overpowered. It certainly was used quite a bit and by a lot of agents, which is often a good indicator. But they didn't just take away 1 or even 2 of these built-in passives. They took away all 3. And the result is you don't ever see anyone using this weapon again. You would be really hard-pressed to find someone. Now the way that you get a counterattack is you have to use the retractable claw. The way you become a protector is you have to use the shield part. And the way you gain evasion is through nimble, and you guessed it, you have to use the wrist slinger. That's going to be nearly impossible to set up. And I do mean nearly impossible, because on top of everything, these buffs will only last for 2 rounds. So what I'm saying is we had this awesome original item that essentially mimicked Wolverine, Captain America, and Spider-Man. It gave us plenty of options and a lot of bang for our buck, which is what you really need for one of your equipment slots. Like I said earlier, we only have 4, so an item has to stand out to gain a spot. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the Vigilante Toolkit was over-nerfed, and now it no longer has a spot. Not on our equipment bar, and no longer in our hearts. But, well, the second part may not be entirely true. because it has remained in some of our hearts, at least to an extent. And that's why I'm joining Agent Snorri in the Unearth the Toolkit campaign. Come on, PD. Unbreak my heart. Say you'll unearth the toolkit again. Undo this hurt you caused when you walked out the door and took the toolkit out of my life. Uncry these tears. I've cried so many nights. Unbreak my heart. You're lucky my voice is gone, Playdom, or else I would easily convince you with a powerful ballad. But what I am going to do is put out that Chase Stein video as soon as I physically can. And then after that, also this week, I'm going to take some old footage that I have of the Vigilante Toolkit and make a special All Hail the King episode. So I want to ask everyone to join in and use the hashtag #UnearthTheToolkit. At the very least, it could be an amazing PvE weapon. Like I said, maybe it couldn't be restored to full power, but how about give it a protect encounter? Or protect an evasion. At least two of the three. Then another option could be, if you are going to make us use it to gain buffs, then make them last for four rounds or permanently. It would still take some time to set up, but those are just a few thoughts. The bottom line is, I want my agent reunited with the toolkit. They had something special. And you're not against love, are you, PD? Well, let me know what you think. That's going to be it for today's segment. Thank you all for listening. And then back to the hosts.
So there's definitely a difference of opinions in the chat room. But I got to tell you, it's one of the few weapons I remember the name. Because, you know, think about some of the names I can make up for it.
Right.
You don't want me to go there.
the sword thing with the flamey thing on it.
Oh, no. I was thinking worse than that. But but no, he's right. When it first came out, man, it's still, honestly, nerfed. It's still better than Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. But it was amazing. And then when they took those passives off, and it wasn't overpowered. That's what I understand is you still had weapons that could go up against it. And now, I don't know about then, but now you have the cube, which can dodge a lot. You've got all these other weapons that would balance. It's a piece of crap. And if you would just replace it to where it was, it absolutely would earn a spot on my bar, I think.
Yeah, Kingfisher, Snorri, and... Kaiser Allen are working together to like really petition MA insiders to unnerf the Vigilante Toolkit, which I think is a great, you know, hey man, if this works, I'd love to see it work, and I'll support it for sure. It's funny because when you look at it, the Vigilante Toolkit came out about a week after the cube. They both came out in October 2013, and if they wouldn't have nerfed the Vigilante Toolkit, I think you'd see as many people using the toolkit instead of the cube. They'd be using probably one or the other in PvP. You'd be seeing some people use the cube, some people use the Vigilante Toolkit. And how much extra variety to the game would that provide now, right? Because instead of saying, all right, I just need really a couple weapons as a defense of the cube, and then I've got these other two slots to do what I want with, you know, you'd be like, all right, well, some people are using the toolkit, some people are using the cube, and it would add this extra layer of complexity, which you know, admittedly, the game could use. There's, if you've got the cube, chances are you've had it equipped since October 2013.
And
having some variety and some different stuff like that. I mean, the weather control device has probably been the only thing that has come close to unseating the cube as the permanent fourth slot item. But it'd be nice to get that Vigilante Toolkit back up to what it was and give those passives, make the passives back as passives instead of procs.
Agreed. And to that point as well, it's not about giving people other options to do things, which is an option, and giving lower level players and new players options as well. But it's also about, it's that balance. It's, you know, you've got the signpost, right? And the signpost, when I got it, was a staple. It was a permanent part of my four, no matter what. Now it's been replaced by other weapons, but if I pull it back out, it's still as strong as the day I got it.
Right. It just couple that with the hot shot. You know, I mean, the demon set still does some pretty good damage. And the only problem with the demon set is that if you want to replace one of the items, then all of a sudden you start taking a lot of damage because each of the items counteracts the damage that you get from another item. So if you want to slip the cube in there, all of a sudden you're screwed on some aspect of the self damage.
Right, and you have to make choices, and that's mm-hmm. good. The point with the toolkit is if you were to put it back on today, it's crap. It will not fight. It will not mm-hmm. hold up. Yeah. So that's the problem. That's what they're saying is you can't just put – you can put the demon set back into play right now, and it holds up. It mm-hmm. might not – you might not use it all the time, but it does hold up. And that's – I think that's where I agree with them on, you know, let's unnerf the toolkit to give that solid option to a really good weapon that never should have been nerfed in the first place.
Agreed.
Now, during the Kingfisher audio – Nikolai messaged me and reminded me that when you mentioned, and he's talking to me, when you mentioned the Agents Only Lounge and everything about it, mention how you get into it, because otherwise we just get bombarded with requests to get into it and without people passing the criteria. So here's the criteria for getting into the lounge. It is to go to patreon.com/from the helicarrier and become a patron. Support the show. Support what we do. As you can see in this bezel on twitch.tv, if you're watching live, there's a spot for Agent Klotz and no camera. It's because we don't have the ability to put the camera up yet. You know, that's one of our goals. We have to have a certain amount of pledges per show so that we can provide him with the technology that it takes and provide us with the technology it takes to manage it all, right?
Right. I'm having a hard time figuring out, pointing at it. It's like, okay, it's down here, right there is where Klotz would be if we had a camera right there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, we need your help to move forward and get everything done. And the rewards you get, the number one reward is the Agents Only Lounge. And any level of participation will get you in the lounge. Now, how you stay in the lounge, you work it the way you want to work it. Somebody said, I think they were talking about MAA in general, but they said MAA is like AA. You just have to work it. However you work it is what you get out of it. But that's true for the Agents Only Lounge.
It is.
We've had people come in. We've never had to ask anybody to leave yet. Mm-hmm. We've had people come in who... One guy, not somebody in the chat room. I saw somebody here in the chat room talk about going in and coming out. It wasn't them, but somebody else came in, tried to start some trouble. They removed themselves very quickly because our community didn't stand up for it. Mm-hmm. There was another situation that happened where somebody came in. It didn't quite work for them. Something bumped. I don't remember exactly what happened, but they removed themselves because they felt like that was a necessary thing to do. We're not saying it's for everybody. We are saying that we have a great community, and there are other great communities out there, by all means. And it's about being positive, about stating your opinion without tearing other people down, and about sharing the knowledge. When we learn something that works, when we find a team that works for us, they share it. Everybody shares that information. And I even mentioned in Vegas last week, one of the greatest things was somebody went up against my team and gave a play-by-play exactly how it went down.
Right.
Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen because that's the kind of community we are. So,
and just kind of put a pin or cap this off.
Sure.
When we were in there in Vegas with on the panel talking about communities with Jay and Mordant and Brian Brushwood, mm-hmm. Brian Brushwood himself came up with the term that perfectly fits the Agents Only Lounge. It is a badass clubhouse.
Yep.
And we want you to be part of our badass clubhouse.
Yeah, so it's not exclusionary, it's inclusionary. Right. Come and be a part. And if you want to tear down what we have, then we'll ask you.
Don't worry about excluding you. Yeah.
Everything still works by the Roadhouse rules. We're nice until it's time to not be nice.
See, anytime you say we welcome anybody, you're gonna find somebody says, "Oh, really? I'm gonna challenge that."
Yeah. Well, you know, you can challenge. I said it's inclusionary. I didn't say we welcome everybody.
Yes.
I said it's inclusionary. Right. And to be inclusionary, you have to get along. You have to be nice. And if you're not nice, we'll escort you to the door. If you're really not nice, we'll do some roundhouse kicks and weird stuff. I don't remember what he did in the movie. I hadn't watched it in a while.
What? You don't watch it every weekend?
No. Well, I went to Vegas last week. We've established that I got out of my routine.
Okay. All right.
Do we have any expanded universe?
We do, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're typing it in now. It seems like there's one other thing. Oh, I want to talk about, follow me on House of the Bear. Follow Ibbit at Coverville. Klotz, I'm not sure if you want to get in on this, but I think we will be live streaming our game days, which is through Twitter is the basis for that. So you need to follow at House of the Bear. to get my feed and to follow at Coverville to get his. And if you have one, if you want to start doing that, Klotz,
holy crap. Would be kind of a cool thing is what we could do is on game day, do the Twitch bezel, but have you periscope into it.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And they could see all three of our game screens and we'll talk about it and we'll hear each other. So we'll be able to talk about it back and forth, but they could at any time see any of the three of us playing a game or all three of us simultaneously.
That'd be kind of fun. I'll let you take care of that for us.
We could set that up for sure. We've got time. Hey, Playdom, don't start a PvP anytime soon.
And thank you. And you're still working on the Kickstarter for Star Wars.
Still working on it. We've got about a week left. We had a humongous push yesterday. I posted... So while we were in Vegas, Andrew, the musician that I'm working with on this, was in Nashville recording with Byron House from from Robert Plant's Band of Joy, and Truman House and a saxophonist. And so we have rough cuts of all the songs that I've been listening to constantly ever since I got my hands on them. And I've posted a sampler that that has a bunch of the songs, like clips of the songs, so you can kind of hear what the music is going to sound like. So when you get the Imperial March and you get the Star Wars theme and you got Han Solo and the princess all done in a really cool, more of a soul jazz style. Like, this is really cool stuff. If you go to Kickstarter, if you actually go to tiny.cc/StarWarsJazz, I've added it to the top of the page. You can actually click a little button and listen to it right in your browser. Don't do it right now. Wait till the show's over. But listen to it, enjoy it, and you can support it for as little as $10. So,
and that's cool.
So do it.
That's cool. Now, Klotz,
slow jam the wars.
That's right.
I like a Han with the. I want to do a slow hand joke, but I think I did it.
A little wrong. Eric Clapton slow hand joke.
I like a man with a slow Han. I don't know. Anyway, Klotz, you had mentioned a bit earlier you two knew more about this than I did. Why don't you talk about the expanded universe?
Paul?
No. Brian knows more than I do.
I'm sorry. My bad. I did not mean to throw you in the bus. I, for some reason, remembered that you were in on that conversation. So go ahead.
No problem. Yeah. So basically, we've had North Star a few years ago came out as gay in Marvel Comics. Canadian member of the Alpha Flight group that we're still waiting to get into MAA. I think Alpha Flight is due anytime now, but that's a tangent. Man. Yeah, Puck would be great, or Sasquatch. Anyway, so North Star came out and actually got married in the comics a couple of years ago. Iceman from the original timeline of Marvel's X-Men is coming out as gay as well. And that's going to be happening this week as part of the classic. And what is it? Is it Uncanny X-Men? I closed this article. Here we go. I've got it back here. Oh, no, I don't. That's a different page that just talks about... I also have a page up that talks about who he's been in romantic relationships with, like Rogue, Kitty Pryde, Mystique, Polaris, Darkstar. Apparently, he has a crush on another member, and that'll get revealed at some point. But Iceman is going to be coming out as gay here in the near future. Oh, yeah, right. Carolina Dean, lesbian also. So good point.
I know one of the universes that doesn't mean all of them. Apparently, I'm not supposed to chat in Twitch today because it just locked up on me. But one of the universes had Colossus as gay, and then Nightcrawler as well. One of the more modern ones. So I found that interesting. I think it's acceptable. I think mixed races is good. Anything, and I think I'm stealing this line from one of you two guys. I know I'm stealing it from one of you two, that anything that Marvel does to be modern and now is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, Marvel took a lot of criticism for a long time on being kind of archaic and the fact that most of the characters were, white males.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The women were over-sexualized. I mean, and it's completely legitimate. You know what I mean? So what they've done recently is they've really gone out of their way to try to shake things up and, pass, hand the torch off for some of these characters to, you know, new people to assume the mantles, or just reveal something about them. Like, actually, in addition to all the other ones we talked about, Young Avengers had a gay character as well. And that was, I mean, that was a while ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And that was, at the time, that was kind of noteworthy. And the big thing is, like, what I like about this is we know that there are people out in the community who would like to see characters that represent them, you know, that are, you know, either have the same beliefs that they do, the same lifestyle, the same religion, race, you name it. And Marvel has a million characters. So, you know, they stand in a position where they could easily accommodate and tell some very interesting stories. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that in the like 70s, 80s and 90s that they started addressing race issues.
Yeah.
I remember like some old school Spider-Man issues where, you know, he'd be playing with black kids and that was at the time still really controversial. You know, like he'd play football with, like I have an issue with him in the black suit that I remember when I was a kid where he was playing football with them. And then it was, you know, it had a whole moral story to it, as most comics do, you know, and it was great. And they're just continuing that legacy of change. And they've really hit a critical mass, which is what I think is great. You know, they're changing up a lot of stuff and they're telling interesting stories. And they're not cop-outs either. It's not like they're just throwing this on there to drum up interest and then there's no quality to the story. There's been tons of quality to the changes they've made lately. Like Miles Morales is a great character. Carolina Dean, like what they're doing with the Runaways is really interesting. All these different things are great. The new Miss Marvel is amazing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And I just want to, like, I'm glad we took up a moment to talk about this because I really want to commend Marvel for being progressive like that and, you know, addressing things that are out there in the world that people care about. It might not strike a chord for everybody, but that's kind of the whole point, you know? You can pick and choose your stories.
And that's actually the right way to do it, is not make it relevant to a storyline, not make it relevant to a direction that they need to go, but it just happens, right? I mean, it's if they treat it as a non-issue, then hopefully society starts treating it as a non-issue and doesn't say, oh, wow, you're gay, and make a big production out of it, or make a big, you know, make any sort of discriminatory remarks about it. If it's taken just as matter of fact, all right, you know, he's gay, whatever, let's go bowling. Then that's the way it needs to be. And I think that seems like the way it's done in the comic. I'm reading an article about it. Actually, Cassius 335 in the chat room posted a link to an article about it that's actually kind of against the way it's done, that actually has all the pages from the comic in there, and you can kind of read through and see how it's done. I think it's done well, but she does bring up some really, really good points. Ellie Collins is the writer of that article.
I know her.
Do you really?
I do, actually. Yeah. I did not realize she'd... Hey, we might have to have her on the
talk. A little exclusive. Exactly.
Yeah, we'll have to have her. Well, that's cool. That's a small world right there.
No kidding. That's funny. So. One other quick thing I'm going to do before we get into From the Field... So you and Paul and I, we're all big fans of Loot Crate. We've all been enjoying the Loot Crate stuff. I've also been big into getting the superhero stuff boxes, the Jinx Bag of Awesomeness, the Comic Bento that came out.
So every day is Christmas at the Ibbett household.
It really is. We've got the collector core coming pretty soon with our little Funko Hulkbusters.
If I don't have that before I go see the movie, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I got a new one today called Nerd Block. And again, I got to thank Snorri for this because I think he posted about this on the Agents Only Lounge. But Nerd Block is Canadian. It's basically Canadian Loot Crate. Mine arrived today. And I got this awesome Ghostbusters Ecto-1 vehicle. Where is it? Here it is. Right? Just like that. And then a cool Back to the Future t-shirt. Kevin Smith's autobiography, which actually I really can't wait to read. A heat-sensitive Pac-Man mug and a pack of cosplayer cards.
Holy crap. That's a really good box.
It's not bad. It's a little more expensive for us stateside because it comes from Canada. So there's about a $3 or $4 additional cost on there. But, Snorri is... he also ordered his, and I think I just spoiled the box for him.
Sorry, Snorri. It's on delay, man. We apologize.
The bummer is the fact that he was the one who told me about it, and I just spoiled it for him. So, thanks.
It's going to take like 6 months to get over there on the boat anyways.
Exactly. You're going to forget about it by the time you actually receive it.
And if I can help you, Snorri, I will say I'm extremely jealous. Because I'm not getting any of that stuff. Now, here's the thing. When I first heard about Loot Crate, I actually compared Nerd Block to Arcade Block to Loot Crate. Went in Loot Crate because they had just put out that amazing exclusive Groot pop vinyl, which is right up my alley. I do the pop vinyls is what I like to collect. And I guess I like the box we just got from Loot Crate. It's the fantasy box. I'm actually wearing my Dungeons & Dragons shirt, which is actually one of the best shirts they've done.
Yeah, it's so cool.
You know, there's some other cool stuff in there that I'm going to save for my kids. Some stuff we'll give away on the show coming up later. Not today, but soon enough. But, you know, to hear that box, like, what? That box has, like, all kind of stuff up my alley. But if I go next month and sign up for Nerd Crate, it won't be there. It'll be, like, something I don't care about. That is kind of the up and down of the subscription service, right?
Yeah, it totally is. And, by the way, Snorri, guess what? You're going to see Age of Ultron in a couple days. We have to wait a week and a half. So, you go.
I will text you Ibbot's number, and you can just be in the theater giving him play-by-play to ruin it for him.
you can text me all the spoilers you want. Nice.
All right. So, it is now time for everybody's favorite segment, From the Field. Yes. Which we actually have four of those today. So let's see. Is he my claimed it? I will take the first one.
Take the first one, sure.
All right. Agent Gustafson. Hello, agents. I've wanted to write you for such a long time. Yes, I know this sounds like the beginning of a love letter. I've written you once before, and I've been thinking about writing to you again, but haven't because I'm lazy. My last letter was about Dick Silver. Do you remember? No? No, it's not a sex message. You never thought that, did you? My God, this letter got weird. Well, I just want to add my opinion on the PvP debate. I agree that game is busted. Why can't PD run one single tournament without the whole system crashing down? But I think at the same time that you don't that I'm sorry. You people over at the Helicarrier, what you people?
What do you mean, your people?
You don't know me.
This is a segment of the show where we voluntarily go off the rails.
That's right.
You people over at the Helicarrier should talk about other strategies than those you're using yourself. That good point. I don't think it's a smart move to run for 8 of the last 2 days. I think the opposite. I think the whole season counts. And this is exactly what From the Field is for, because typically we will talk from our own experience, but we are very, very open to sharing and discussing other strategies, experiences, that kind of thing. So absolutely get your emails in. We'll talk about how here in a minute. He thinks the opposite. The whole season counts. Sure, you can't do 200 battles the first day, but you can't just do 4 or 5 a day either. If you want to get into ADA, you need to you need to do maybe 5 a day in the beginning of the season and then climb to ADA when it's about 14 days left. When it's 7 days left, run for the 700 in rating. When it's 5 days left, you run... Okay, 7 days, yeah. 5 days left, you run for the 2,000 and above.
1,700. I think you said 700.
I'm sorry, 17. Yes, when it's 5 days left, just quit playing and run for the 700 and then start over. You're correct, 1,700. To reach this, you need to do 10 battles a day in mid-season, sometimes 15 or 20. This will result in a good buffer, which you need on game day. I usually don't play anything on game day. I just relax, sleep, and fart, which I would never could when I was using your method. It is too exhausting and stressful. From the Helicarrier method, where you cannot sleep or fart. I've never got my beauty sleep. Thank you for your great show. Best regards, Agent Gustafson from Sweden. Gustafson. No, it's not the same as Switzerland. I actually changed my name to Agent Love Me this PvP season just to see if other agents were still cold-hearted enough to kill me. And yes, they were.
That's funny. I'm going to change my name to Agent Let Me Win. Let's see how well that works.
I've changed my name to Agent Do You Still Beat Your Kids?
Oh, jeez.
You know, I don't know. Just throw things out there. Then they'll just run away. There is so much worse I could do with that. And I get the reaction from you two guys with the what I thought was the whitewashed one. So, sorry. Oh, let me be politically correct. The green color.
Wife.
Yeah.
I hate your kids.
Because playing all the PvP around here, right?
Around here.
So he brings up a great point. In order to bring up points that maybe we don't see or hear or to disagree with us or to whatever you want to do, email us from thehelicarrier at gmail.com. That's the best way to get it in. We love hearing these points. And he's definitely not the first person. Agent Disco Booty wrote in a couple weeks ago and said that was his thing, is hit it hard, hit it fast, keep your fights up. So by all means, you send in your stuff and let us hear what you have to say.
Sorry, I'm getting a text or a phone call right now. I had to kill it. How about if I read this next one?
Okay.
Agent No Free Actions wrote in, said, "Hi from the Helicarrier, no spaces. I first wanted to thank you for the great show. Just in time for the end of PvP, I finally made it to level 300. Woo. I'm happy to have made it through with another adamantium finish and look forward to the new spec ops coming, quote unquote, soon. Newly Spartan, I'll be reforging the cybernetic cannon because I was planning for this immune to exhausted thing well ahead of time. Before then, I had cower and incapacitation to spread around, no relying on turn order, and still very much a chess game. I guess I better stop before this becomes a rant about how bad of an idea this free actions thing is. Keep up the good work, Agent No Free Actions."
I just picture his agent symbol, you know, his picture of Facebook is a big sign of him picketing saying no free actions.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the cybernetic cannon, I wanted to pull that one up because how well does this thing go with the new tactician armor that we just got? It's let's see, 2 rounds of chilled. 50% chance, deals damage every turn, evasion reduced, canceled by burning. And then if you've got other cybernetic set pieces, then you get cybernetic evolution, you gain malignant ice, and attacks with this weapon becomes self. Yeah, that is. So that was part of the Spec Ops 21 gear.
I think I got most of that cybernetic gear. I know I at least have two pieces so I could unlock things. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the early times when we could farm and build weapons. And I want to say that's one of the early times you didn't have to have all four to get great.
That's right.
Weapons.
Yeah.
You could have just two and you'd be good. So very correct. Cool. Very
yeah.
cool.
So sounds like he's ready to use that with the new outfit. So, all right.
And I don't think you're going to be able to stop free actions, but I think arming yourself to kill them is a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm dead serious. I'm changing my PvP name to Agent Let Me Win FTH. Gonna do it right now. next letter.
All right, Klotzy.
Lucky Agent Lyles writes in saying, "Greetings, Agent KIM." Hey, it always throws me off.
I know you have to stop and think about it. Oh, Klotzy, a bit my fault. Yeah.
Right.
Lucky Agent Lyles reporting in again and breathing a sigh of relief with PvP's conclusion. As usual, the slew of refreshes become part and parcel of the game day, hit me like so many other players, and just like every other time I finish an ADA. The day prior to game day would involve hours of grinding away until I had a 200-point buffer for losses. My team this season, Enchantress with Sympathy and Relentless ISOs, Bruiser Null with Tag Team, and my Empowered Generalist with the Agent or the Scroll of Uncle Bob, Warbringer X, Hugin's Eye, and Seduction. The last of which being the Enchantress on a Stick that is a stealthy magic attack that places mind control and disoriented on a single enemy.
Now you can,
it's amusing.
You can pronounce things correctly all day long, but I am always going to call it Hugin's Eye. It just makes me feel better.
Because you're hugging.
I am. I'm hugging. And you can't hit me while I'm hugging.
Oh, bother.
All right, carry on, sir.
What's amusing is that the number 200 also figures into another personal achievement. I recently racked up just enough CP to recruit Vision. Once I clear this Chapter 8 heroic battle, I will have mastered all of Season 2's available content. While I fully expect that the Age of Ultron Spec Ops will offer an alt costume for Vision, I consider it fitting to get two Children of Ultron within the same week. All I have left are Shanna, Squirrel Girl, Sunfire, Moon Knight, and hoping I get to stop getting the middle finger on daily roulettes in order to finish off Magneto, Juggernaut, Satana, Thane, Constrictor, and Omega Sentinel. His shopping list is very similar to mine. rather than just boast and brag, I'd like to put forth an idea for improving the game. There are already several teams of heroes that grant special benefits to their members. I propose the idea of a membership ISO. The only benefit of this ISO would be that the character piggybacks off the benefits of that team without adding any benefits themselves. What do you guys think? Here's hoping that we get a long reprieve before the PvP Season 21 rears its face. P.S. McFall, I hope that free booze in Vegas did the trick for your throat. You sounded a little hoarse.
It did. It did indeed.
Gotta love the free booze in Vegas.
I like that idea of an item that, like, you know, grants you honorary status for that team, for a team up kind of thing.
Sure.
I've seen it done in Marvel Heroes has something similar to that. And there's a couple other games I've heard of things similar to that being used. That would be really cool. Depending on how far you let it go, you know, kind of thing. It could be a little busted, but it could be if measures were taken to make sure that it wasn't OP, it would be super fun.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm looking.
Sorry, I'm wheeling and dealing in the chat room here. Unfortunately, I've got because of my spoiler alert or lack of spoiler alert, I'm sending Snorri a 3D printed shield badge in the mail.
I meant to take those out of their very safe box that I keep them in to show them off today. Yeah. I forgot. Ibit brought the. We talked about that. Ibit brought them.
Well, I could show this off because it's not in a very safe box. This is the trophy. One of the trophies from the podcast awards right here is the comedy one for the morning stream because the Coverville one is up on the mantle.
You know, seriously, people, he did totally carry those around everywhere and like use those to get into clubs.
I swear to God, not every club. Some clubs I didn't have to because they saw the hat.
This is true. So very quickly, I got a tag from somebody listening in the chat room. He says, he's listening to what you're saying about changing your name. His name is already Agent Al. Let me win.
Oh, really? Oh, that's yes. Funny. Wow.
So you're brothers and
I names. I thought I was being so clever. And not at all. No. Apparently not.
You didn't have the hat on. You couldn't bob and weave. It's all
right. Right.
Exactly. Agent Love Monkey reporting in as a level 256 agent. I want to provide a little PvP perspective from the kill zone. I managed to hit Vibranium last season and felt that matchmaking was fair that I had a shot with the team I'd constructed. On your last show, you guys talked about PvP match and how generally matchmaking was fixed, which I fully believed because of my experience in High Diamond versus what we found out from Klotz earlier on the show is apparently it wasn't. But he says we in generally felt like it was fixed. I'm going to do my best Heimdall impression and give this season the patch of the hand of nope. I guess I got to do that. Hand of nope. I've hovered around the 1,000 ranking all season long, and as much as I want the new tactician suit, I don't have the desire or time to fight hundreds of battles in a row and attempt to get out of Diamond Gold Leagues. So let me stop here real quick for the email. He's agent level 256. Klotz, what is your actual level?
Klotz?
Guts.
He's asleep. Don't wake him.
See, this Hell Hydra thing has gone way too far. Now he's just like off collaborating with some enemies. This is, oh my goodness. All right. I think he's in the Fatal Funnel as well. Apparently he's dropped off there. So I'm curious if it's the Fatal Funnel added to the matchmaking part of it because they've done nothing to fix the Fatal Funnel that I know of. Mm-hmm. So back to the email. In fact, with matchmaking still messed up, I've stuck to just my 5 battles a day so I don't burn out on this game. I don't feel as if I'm taking tons of AFK battles. And for just a reminder for those who don't know, AFK is away from keyboard battles in the kill zone. But the point differential...
AFK, like Paul.
But the point differential when comparing my offensive and defensive battles shows me that the matchmaking still isn't right. I've placed a series of battle report scores to illustrate what I'm facing at the 1,000 ranking below. These are from the last day or two. And on offense, it's plus, I won't go through all the breakdown, but it's multiple battles. Plus 13, negative 36. Next day, plus 18, negative 47. Next day, plus 25, negative 58, which is exactly what Paul was talking about, that you just can't get ahead. And actually, that's what I experienced, was it, man, a year ago? I'm not even sure how long ago I hit 300. That fatal funnel, you just, it hits that wall. And you cannot get past it because you're just fighting out of your league. And you would have thought that the level cap would have fixed it, but it doesn't. Not at all. So basically what it comes down to is that at level 256 and at 1,000 rating, I'm still fighting agents in the 300 to 600 rating range and getting hardly anything for it while getting AFK'd by all level 300 agents. I'm easily losing double what I win between each time I do offensive battles. Although Ibbett suggested that PD give everyone Victor Monchoff for the bad season, I know that won't happen. Anyway, here's hoping the next season is better and something gets fixed soon. Agent Love Monkey out. Now, I want to say, and that's the last of the emails for today, I do want to say that as opposed to you having some hiccups like we did and having some bad experiences, as opposed to giving the hero, in this case it'd be Victor, to everybody, how about you reduce the CP factor on it from when we do buy him? Saying, hey, instead of charging you 3,000 CP, I obviously don't know how much CP it costs. I haven't had to buy a character in a while. This will be the first one I've had to buy in a little while. But instead of charging whatever they charge for it, how about reducing it down to a more reasonable level?
Yeah. That seems like the way to go for sure.
So I think I heard Klotz come back. Are you?
I think so.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, he probably typed a thing. Yeah, AFK for saying he actually typed a message.
Oh, he did.
I didn't look at it at all. So that is funny. Sorry, man.
AFK means away from keyboard. McFall, I'm sorry. I didn't fully say what
happened. What's funny is that came up in the letter we just wrote.
So, okay. So what is your agent level right now, Paul?
I am level 230.
So you're not quite what I considered a fatal funnel, but you're still having that. So that was busted matchmaking totally.
Well, it's the new fatal funnel is if you're above 200, you're getting a lot of tough matchups now. That's been my experience since I've gone above 200.
Oh, yeah, that's
before it would, before I would get the occasional like 300 and high 200s. And then I just see a lot of people everywhere in the middle, but now it's like a ton of high level people, except, when you got in a diamond, because this tournament was so busted with the matchmaking, you'd either get a bunch of people that were completely way too low to give you any points, or you'd get someone who, rating wise, and then you'd get occasionally you'd get a decent pairing that was like just brutal.
I've been watching a little bit of Metalocalypse. It's brutal. Yeah, I get that in there. It's brutal. Yeah, I don't know if anybody listening has had to push a car out of mud or slush, snowy slush. Imagine most of us probably have had some similar experience. That's what Diamond totally felt like on any level. I mean, you had 300, it's like, and I'm just getting nasty and dirty and tired and going, what the hell is going on here? And so I thought they'd fix it. I hope they fixed it. Unfortunately, we were proven wrong from not even a week, man. It was from last Friday to today. So you're talking about 4 days where it ended. And it's like, nope, I guess not. I guess the matchmaking's still busted. So they're still working on it. What can we say?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Well, hopefully they get it fixed before the next one for sure.
Yeah. And let's take a break from PvP for a while, please.
Right. I wouldn't even mind, if you want to give us a pre-VP during Spec Ops, that takes a lot less work and is a lot less to worry about. And that would be totally fine.
Agreed. All right. Do we have any last tips, things to throw out, promotional things, anything like that before we get out of here?
Nothing on my side. We've already talked about the Kickstarter, which actually just got plugged by Kickstarter themselves as new and noteworthy. And that, it's a staff pick now. So let's hope that helps us finish off the thing.
Very, very.
You think that might have come on the back of Star Wars Celebration weekend being this past weekend?
Certainly didn't hurt, right?
sure. Now I'm starting to think if it looks like the Kingpin. And he's kind of taking actions like the Kingpin. It makes you go,
Let me hold on. I'm going to go art shopping. I'll be back in a little bit.
By the way, if you're in the Agents Only Lounge, I think I may have put it on the regular Facebook page as well. Great picture that somebody found and put out there of baby Kingpin and baby Daredevil side by side. It was just awesome. You know, so if you haven't seen that, go Google baby Kingpin, baby Daredevil, and find the picture. It's great. I want to throw a little shout out to Ermagard, the mashup show that I do. We are recording tonight, which we don't normally advertise this, but we happen to be recording tonight, and we're going to be doing it on Periscope, if I can get all the ins and outs worked out there. So you can actually watch us as we record this and put it together tonight, if you'd like. You have to follow at House of the Bear on Twitter. And I'm trying to get the microphones and the music plugged into the iPad so that everybody can hear and see us well and not just have silence while we're listening to music and doing the goofy crap that we do. So you can check that out. Paul has a new computer that we're very, very proud of.
Yay!
I'm not sure if it's going to help with the show or the game, but we're still excited. We're geeks. What can we say?
It is going to help me. I do intend to start streaming at some point. And it's going to let me host the stream when we do our future benefit for Disco Booty.
Cool.
Because we are going to do a day of streaming and live chatting and all that kind of stuff sometime in the relative near future, in the next month or two here. I got to get out of this semester of school.
Yeah.
Once we get that plugged away and I get to mess around with broadcasting software a little bit and get familiar with it so that it's smooth. That is what will happen.
So, and one last thing, speaking of smoothing things out, there was obviously a lot of hiccups in Vegas getting our scheduling done. And then even after that, it took me like 2 days to get the show up. And I very much apologize for all of that delay. Coming on the back of that and the great work that Mike Woodard has done, he's the voice you're about to hear, temp out wherever we can be found. We're working together to launch panel by panel, and he's managed all of that. And Uncle George and I are just voices on it, which is amazing to do. I've never been able to do that yet. He's going to be taking on a lot of the responsibilities for everything that House of the Bear puts out, Ermagard and Success Freaks and Helicarrier, all that stuff. So what you're used to is getting the recording on Tuesday afternoon live right here. Hello, everybody. Whee! And then I usually spend a good hour trying to put everything together and get it uploaded so that by Tuesday night, East Coast, it's out in podcast form. I'm not sure how we're going to change that, if we're going to change much of it, but we're going to change that a little bit to where it might come out Wednesday. But once we get it set, you'll know, oh, I missed a live recording. I know this is a time and day that it's going to come out, and it'll be a lot more in line with everything that you want and makes it easier for you to get a hold of the show. Because that was, honestly, I'm just going to call myself out. That was unacceptable. You know, we went way too long to get the show. I came out Saturday night or Sunday, you know, 2 days before the next show. It's like dropping PvP on top of Spec Ops on top of Covert Ops. You know, that's just not cool, man.
Right.
So I do apologize, and we're going to fix it. So letting you know that we'll keep you informed as the changes happen, and there you go. So speaking of Mike... Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, no. All right, button don't work.
And it should have. That whole thing, the automation thing crashed. But hold tight. I get it.
Yeah,
I
just get it. Sure, it'll be fine.
Talk amongst yourselves.
How about that vigilante toolkit, man?
A bit.
Yeah, Klotz.
What you thinking?
I'm thinking I got to print out a shield badge for Snorri now because I spoiled his Icelandic loot crate.
Watch it. But what would be funny is if he gets totally different things and he'd be like, damn it.
You know? Yeah, right.
So now he knows. All right, here we go. I got it. Here we go and play it.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com and find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on thehelicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.